Said I'll be back in a minute, and so since I said it, I have to step on the mic here, and because Pastor Alvin is going to be officiating for the communion service, and so I'll drop the mic.
All right, Sabbath blessings, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Nick. Amen. Praise the Lord. So before we start, I invite you to all kneel for prayer. Of course. If you can. Yeah, it's a communion service today. Okay, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day that we can gather once again to praise and worship you. Yeah, it's so amazing, Lord, because you allowed us again to have this online worship. Thank you for this technology. Thank you for the talent. Thank you for everything, Lord, that you have given to us. Although we are miles apart from each other, we can worship and fellowship together. You're so amazing, Lord. Thank you for your holy presence, to your Holy Spirit, and inspiring us to love you more and more and to continue in the faith. Thank you for blessing the children an adult study that we had earlier. It's really full of information and learning of your will. We uplift to you all the prayer requests of your children, those who are sick, not only physically but spiritually. May you make them whole, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless us as we have our Lord's Supper service today. And I also ask you to please bridle my tongue as I continue to speak in your behalf. And Father, please forgive us for all the sins we have committed against thee. And may you grant us peace and joy as we worship you this holy Sabbath day. Because we ask all these things in the best of our ability in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. Amen and amen. Oh yeah. So I also like to take this opportunity, my dear brothers and sisters, to humbly ask for your forgiveness. Please forgive me if I have offended anyone here in words or actions. Of course, me and my family, and of course, none of you have offended us, nor offended me. And now we're going to proceed to our short message, actually, before we proceed to the Lord's Supper. And the Lord inspired me to give this topic about holiness. So I titled this sermon, Be Holy. Be Holy. Yeah, so Sister Janisa will post the link. Those who are in the WTPR, you can go to this URL, sdrmovement.org/note/01-1825.html. That's today's date, January 18, 2025, so you can follow along with me. Okay, the first text that I'm going to share is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God's nature, His character is holy. And here is why we should strive to be holy, my dear brothers and sisters. Because the perfect holiness of God is proclaimed by the seraphims when they cried one to another. In Isaiah 6:3, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of His glory. But imagine, we're talking about seraphims and cherubims, all these angels who minister to us. They're singing, holy, holy, holy. This proclamation of holy is repeated 3 times for each member of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It emphasizes the supreme holiness of God as well as His power, wisdom, and goodness. Yes, our God is holy, who sits on heavenly throne. Notice Psalms 47 verse 8. 47 verse 8 of Psalms says, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of what? Of His holiness. So, God's kingdom is established in holiness and justice, and on this holy throne, He gives His commands. Psalm 60 verse 6, it says, God hath spoken in His holiness, and I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and meet out the valley of Sukkoth. Therefore, I will rejoice. We must all rejoice. For we can rest assured that He will surely fulfill His promise to give us a place in that heavenly kingdom. 100%. But of course, it's a conditional promise. It's conditional on our obedience. God is holy in everything He does. His words are holy. His law, His commandments are said to be holy, just and good. That is according to Romans chapter 7:12. So, we should make sure that our actions, our words, and thoughts are holy. Again, notice in Psalms 93 verse 5. Psalms 93 verse 5 says, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." The phrase "thine house" in this passage refers to us, His church, both the ministers and members alike, for we are all brethren. No one is higher or greater than another, because our head is Christ. We are His body. We should all be holy. Our faith, our practices, our worship, like what we are having now, even our discipleship, should be always be holy at all times, for holiness becometh thine house. See, though the throne of His holiness is in the heavens, heaven of heavens, the good thing is the Lord claims a throne in our hearts. Why? Because He bought us with a price. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 6:20. But in Psalms 29 verse 2, it says, when we worship Him, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Remember, the Lord alone is the object of our worship, not any creatures. Be they angels or people or objects. And I actually praise the Lord. Why? Because even during the children hour, they tackled about this earlier. So amazing. It's all connected. The children, adult study, and now it's all connected. Why? Because the Lord is presiding. He's talking to us today. So let's put on the beautiful garment, the best robe of God's righteousness by faith to cover our unworthiness. Let us approach God today with the internal beauty of holiness and purity of heart, which reflects the beauty of our God Himself. We should all learn what it means to be a Christian from Christ. And only by practicing the lessons given by the Word of God can we reflect the strength and beauty of the Christian character. And again, it's so amazing and wonderful we are talking about this subject of holiness this Sabbath day. Why? Because in Testimonies Volume 2, 444, it says here, "Holiness of heart and purity of life was the great subject of the teachings of Christ." Praise the Lord. So be holy. That is what the Christian life is. So we must follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's what Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. Follow Him. Follow holiness. Because without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Our actions should be holy. But it's not an attitude of a holier than thou. You know this holier than thou attitude, according to Isaiah 65, verse 5? This action is of a self-righteous man. No, we don't say, "Okay, come not near to me. I am holier than thou." No. This is not the holiness that God is referring to us. But what it takes to be holy, my dear brothers and sisters. God said in Exodus chapter 19, 5 to 6. Exodus 19, 5 to 6. He said to us, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And this also applies to us, the spiritual Israel, the remnant of our seed. And he says once more in Numbers 15, Numbers 15, verse 40, it says here, "That ye may remember that ye do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." Remember. And this is connected to the fourth commandment. The Sabbath is a sign of His holiness to make us holy. So to be holy is to follow all of God's commandments to the letter in spirit and in truth. Not partially, but holy. Not only mere external, but an entire transformation. Everything we do must follow the principle of God's law and the testimony of Jesus. Because this is our solemn response to our loving Creator. He loves us. He first loves us. And we love Him. But we have no power on our own to produce the fruit of holiness. Because we cannot change our heart. No. Nobody can change our heart. Except the power of Christ alone. His grace alone can lead us from sin to holiness. So let's walk humbly. Let's treat our neighbors and one another honestly and justly. We must continue to strive to show that our daily life reflects a sense of holiness. In volume 7, 7108, paragraph 1, it says, "We are called to be holy, and we should carefully avoid giving the impression that it is of little consequence whether or not we retain the peculiar features of our faith. To give the impression that our faith, our religion, is not a dominating power in our lives is greatly to dishonor God. Thus, we turn from His commandments, which are our life, denying that He is our God and that we are His people." So let's avoid dishonoring God by misrepresenting Him in our life. Let's stop sinning. We should not allow the world to shape us in any way. We should show through our actions that our true affections are not tied to this world, but rather, our treasure lies in heaven. For where our treasure is, that's where our hearts will be also. You can read that in Luke 12:34. So let everyone know that we are just strangers and pilgrims in this world. We are just passing through. We are looking for that better country, which is heavenly. So our conversation even should be holy. In view of the coming destruction of earth, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" James says, Apostle James says in James 3, verse 13, "Who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." And what Paul says in Ephesians 4:29-30. Ephesians 4:29-30, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who sealed unto us the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So, these passages clearly show how our light and vain conversation, which offers no grace, can displease God and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Make sure to season every word we say with salt of grace. We must be the light and salt of the world. Our manners and characters must be holy and true in the sight of God and men. Even our speech, our conversation must be pure and holy, no corruption, never unkind, but full of love, full of edifying. So we really need, brothers and sisters, to watch every word we say. If our hearts are holy, our words will be holy in harmony to the Word of God. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? You can read that in Luke 6:45. But listen to this in 40:244. We are instructed, or we are told, if you cherish a habitual impression that God sees and hears all that you do and say, and keeps a faithful record of all your words and actions, and that you must meet it all, then in all you do and say, you will seek to follow the dictates of an enlightened and wakeful conscience. Your tongue will be used to the glory of God and will be a source of blessing to yourself and to others. But if you separate from God, as you have been doing, take heed, lest your tongue shall prove a world of iniquity and bring upon you fearful condemnation. For souls will be lost through you. Wow. So we cannot be a stumbling block to others. Don't allow it to happen. Our God can control and bridle our tongue if we submit to Him. Our conversation should be in heaven as we look forward to the Savior. See, one common sin we see today is the tendency for conversation to be both cheap and low. Corrupt communication refers to any expression that goes against holy principles of truth. That's why many of us probably felt sad last Sabbath. Why? Because we are not able to hold the regular service due to technical issues. Now we know the Lord allowed that to happen. Praise the Lord. There was a good reason. And I thank the Lord for that. Why? Again, the Lord allowed it. Please pray for that lost soul who posted a vulgar word prior to children's study. To repent and be converted before it's too late. This is a sacred place. A holy place that the enemy wanted to corrupt. And we must guard every avenue so he won't get in. We must guard our children and the whole church by God's grace. Jesus is our example. He is our pattern. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He never spoke an idle word. So let us, by God's sufficient grace, strive to overcome and put away all vain and foolish talk, like the jesting, the joking around that is simply not appropriate. Nonsense. Try to change the topic to healthy conversation if possible, by God's help, when you sense that the subject is leaning to impurity. So keep the avenues of our soul closed from any corruption. Follow what Paul says in Colossians 3:16-17. Colossians 3:16-17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Sing the scripture songs we have. We have so many. So our thoughts, our meditations should be holy. If we keep our thoughts holy, then our words and actions will also be holy. We should strive by fervent prayer and supplication to bring our thoughts in subject to the will of Christ. That's why we mentioned about, okay, go to the woods with your children. That's amazing. But not now, it's too cold. But if you do, you have to cover, cover a thick jacket or clothes. See, this is to prevent evil thoughts. We should, like David, think of the loving kindness of God. For he says in Psalms 48 verse 9, he says, "We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple." And once more he says in Psalms 19:12, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." So the thoughts of the wicked are vain. It's pointless and empty of grace. And God is not in all their thoughts. But our thoughts are in the law of the Lord. Psalms 119:113 says, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Oh, I love the law. He says also in Psalms 139:23-24, this is one of our scripture songs, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And again in Psalms 119:97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Dear brothers and sisters, God desires us to be holy, for God is holy. Let us strive to be holy in life and pure in character, to seek holiness of heart. Let's not lower the standard of God, but raise it high. Let us think about holiness. Let's meditate on holy things, not only during Sabbath, but every day. Let us talk about the holy Godhead, the holy angels, and learn about the holy life of the Bible heroes of faith. Keep in mind that the new earth will be a holy place. Unnumbered holy beings are going to live in that place. So, we must be holy here in earth if we want to live with them in the new earth. To be holy begins here, now. But to attain holiness requires toil. It needs time, perseverance, patience, and self-sacrifice. It's not automatic, not one click. Consecration or sanctification is a daily process. Every day, we must ask for the daily baptism of the Holy Spirit. A fresh supply of grace. We need the grace of Christ to live a holy life and be a blessing to others. In 3SP, Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 439, Paragraph 1 of 3SP. They studied, "Unconscious influence of a holy life is the most convincing sermon that can be given in favor of Christianity." Amen. So as we have always heard, dear brothers, dear sisters, we may be the only Bible that others can read, right? So why not make sure our lives gives a positive impact to attract and win souls to Christ that will give glory to Him? And lastly, In Youth Instructor, February 17, 1898, paragraph 2. Youth Instructor, February 17, 1898, paragraph 2, it says, "It is not enough to believe what is preached." Okay, every Sabbath, every study we have, we are learning a lot. But that's not enough. The truth must be brought in the temple of the soul. So that truth that we heard must be lived out in our life. Holiness is not rapture. It does not mean based on feeling, the ecstasy of feeling. No, holiness is not rapture. It is the result of surrendering all to God. It is living by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It is doing the will of our Heavenly Father. And what is that will? It's the law. It is trusting God in trial, believing in His promise in the darkness as well as in the light. Religion is to walk by faith as well as by sight, trusting in God with all confidence and resting in His love. We shall be saved eternally when we enter in through the gates into the city. Then we may rejoice that we are saved. Eternally safe. Amen. So, our Almighty God is about to utter a powerful shout from heaven, is speaking from His holy throne. So, the question is, who is going to be able to stand before His holiness when the earth is shaking, when the mountains are crumbling, and the wicked are begging for the rocks and mountains to fall on them, just to hide from the one sitting on the holy throne? Yes, only the holy ones will be able to stand and witness that terrible scene. And we have no doubt that the Lord Himself will soon appear with all the holy angels with Him, the cherubims, the seraphims, and the thousands of holy angels with Him. Oh, brothers and sisters, it is now high time. We press together in unity, shoulder to shoulder, to strive for eternal life. We must be holy through the grace of Christ if we are to stand before that holy throne. I pray that all of us will be ready. And I hope and pray you are blessed. And that being said, let's take a 15-minute break for feet washing as a sign of humility and reconciliation in preparation for partaking the Lord's Supper. In 15 minutes. Thank you, Brother Dwayne, for playing the song while we are doing the feet washing. So after 15 minutes, it's now 12 or 1. We're at 2:16. Okay. So 2:30. We'll be back at 2:30. 2:30. Okay. See you later. Dear brothers and sisters, praise the Lord.
He called me Master and Lord, and He said, well. He called me Master and Lord, and He said, well, the song I am. If I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, He also ought to wash one another's feet. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well, the for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. He called me Master Lord, and you say, well, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent me. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, the song.
See you.
for certain that you will always be there. You will always care in what is his best. Won't turn my mind to you when I am up. You're asking me from heaven, and it's day I have to lie. My voice already to give glory and praise all through my day. For you are dear Lord, for you are dear Lord, for you are Lord, my love. You have to lift me up. Now I'm walking with the knowledge of your word. My life will be much brighter with you. Lord, turn my life to you when I abide. You rescued me from sadness, and each day I have to rise. My voice awake to give glory and praise all through my day. For you, my dear Lord, for you, dear Lord, for you, Lord, my life. Seasons and seasons fade away, and it shines praise into you today. To a life surrender, my life not to surrender, with longing in my heart to see your face. Lord, hold my life to you when I abide. You rescued me from sadness, and each day I have to lie. My voice I raise to give glory and praise all through my day. For you, my dear Lord, for you, my dear Lord, for you, Lord, my love.
Did you guys hear me? Yeah, all right.
Yes,
it was a brand new router right in the middle of a church service.
Wow.
You know, and so, weirdest thing, Turbo went down, and then the new server went down. So let me get that back up. Me and Fran were just about ready to jump over to Telegram, because we moved that new room on Telegram, you know. So let me turn off the music and join the meeting with live audio. Okay, everybody's coming back on WTPR. I got to get Twitch up now. Sorry about this, everybody, but the enemy of souls has a problem with our communion service. All right, I'm waiting. Okay, there. My echo just... Why am I... Why is it echoing? Oh. That's right, I'm on. Shut that off. All right, now let's see if the chat text chat is back up. Yep. So that database is solid. Let me just see if the stream will come through. Okay, good. The stream goes through there. All right, let's give it about 5 minutes for everybody to come back in, but let me get Twitch up. I'll call them later on after Sabbath. Thanks, Joe. I just got your text. Well, I just looked over there. So let me just see if Twitch. Okay, now Twitch is finally showing the text chat. All right. Let's see if it'll connect. Waiting. Okay, now it's wait. No drop frames. Okay, we're good there. All right, everything's back up and running, and I again apologize. But the enemy of souls right in the middle. Man. And when I tried to get it on the server, because I had to reboot the main server, it told me I needed a password to get it into my own server, like I had a Microsoft account. And I remember talking to tech support and how I had to make a MacGyvered Microsoft account for him so he can get in to do the remote connection. And I just happened to remember that password, and I was in. But that took a good 10 minutes because I didn't know how am I supposed to get a password here. So everything's good. All right, Brother Alvin, if you can just take it from there, then we can finish our communion.
Okay, praise the Lord. Am I clear right now? Do you hear me?
Yeah, crystal clear. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The enemy is trying to, as you have said, Pastor Nick, he's really trying hard. But, you know, because as you remember, what we are actually doing right now, the Lord's Supper is actually a symbol of unity, a symbol of brotherhood with Christ. So, and the enemy doesn't want unity. He's trying to distract us. He's a god of confusion. But praise the Lord, we are back. So, let's go to the second part of our service. And prior to that, I want to share. I think I post. Let me post this again. You can you post it? Okay. Review and Herald, June 22, 1897, paragraph 12. Okay. Is it there now? Okay. Yeah. Good. All right. Now let's read this. We do not come to the ordinances of the Lord's house merely as a form. We do not make it our business as we gather around the table of our Lord to ponder about and mourn over our shortcomings. The ordinance of feet washing embrace all this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That is in John 14:26. We do not come with our minds diverted to our past experience in the religious life, whether that experience is elevating or depressing. And we do not come to revive in our minds the ill treatment we have received at the hands of our brethren. The ordinance of humility is to clear our moral horizon of the rubbish that has been permitted to accumulate. Let me stop here in a minute. In other words, let's now leave behind any discouraging experiences we had with each other, if any, of course. Why? Because we are now clean, we are reconciled, we are at peace with each other when we wash each other's feet. Of course, we cannot read the heart. No, that's why ask the Lord to help us know our condition. And this is the reason why we must be always present during the special occasion and not avoid it. Because maybe others said, oh, I'm not worthy to receive it. We'll just escape it. No, stop thinking about it. Okay, continues here now. It says, after the feet washing, we have assembled now to meet with Jesus Christ, to commune with Him. Every heart is to be open to the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness. Our minds and hearts are to be fixed on Christ as the great center on whom our hopes of eternal life depend. We are not to stand in the shadow but in the saving light of the cross, with hearts cleansed by His most precious blood and in full consciousness of His presence, although unseen. We may listen to His voice that thrills the soul with the words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. On these occasions, heaven is brought very near to the true members of the Lord's family, and they are brought into sweet communion one with another. Now you see why the enemy is trying to attack, distract us. He hates this communion, the unity among us. So let's continue to press together, dear brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Let me read this. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. It says here, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Remember, somebody asked, so how many times, why are we doing this every quarter or every 3 months? Because this is what the Lord said, as often as we do this in remembrance of Him. In 26 says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. So as we come together for this holy meal, let's keep in mind the promise that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will come again to take us to heaven to be with Him for eternity. That's why in Matthew 26:29 it says, but I say unto you, Jesus said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Yes, being with Jesus feels really comforting and wonderful. That's why we want to be with Jesus. And before we partake, I invite you all to pray with me for the bread and the grape juice, the cup. So please kneel down if you can. Let us pray. Dear Holy Father, please bless this bread and wine, which represent the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. And we remember His sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for your everlasting love. Thank you so much for the great privilege you have bestowed upon us. Thank you so much for your comforting promise that you will be with us until the end. We love you so much, Lord. and we want to see you face to face and hug you tight, because you are so wonderful and marvelous. Thank you so much, Lord, for cleansing us from our sins. For we pray this in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can now be seated, and while holding the bread, let me read first Matthew 26:26. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And so we begin to eat the bread. You can now please eat the bread. Okay, so let's continue by reading the rest of Matthew 26:27-28. It says here, Matthew 26:27-28, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" And with that, let's all drink the cup. Please drink now the unfermented wine of the grape juice. Okay, and finally, on Matthew chapter 26, verse 30, it says, after they have taken the supper, they had sung on him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So, at this point of time, we will close our service with a song, followed by a closing prayer.
Thank you.
See Jesus in me. That's our goal. Okay, let's close this service in prayer. Let's kneel down. If you can. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your peace, love, grace, and salvation you have granted us. We praise, glorify, and worship you with all our heart because you deserve these things. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to be holy, for you are holy. Thank you for your holy presence through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the holy angels who minister to us. Thank you for bringing us into unity of faith and for the sweet communion with one another on these special occasions. Please, Father, help us to stand against the enemy and be ready for your soon coming kingdom. We want to be ready, Lord. And please stay with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day, because all of this we pray in the name of our loving Savior, our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.